The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Clopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead, as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Our Gospel today from the Gospel of Luke is a familiar story. A story that we've heard many times before. But like so many things these days, it's a story that can have some new thoughts brought to it based on these current times that we're in. But before we get too far into it, let's think about this story yet again. I think we understand that Cleopas and whoever his companion is on this road are having this discussion of all the things that have happened. We've done this before ourselves. Sometimes you leave an event or you leave a movie, you leave something else, and you spend the entire drive home talking about the things that you had just seen. Because they're so fresh in your memory, they're so important to who you are, that you just want to talk about them. Now, I will admit about myself, I'm someone who gets really mad when the second a movie ends, people want to analyze it, talk about it, figure it out, tear it apart, put it back together, all of those things within the first 10 minutes of walking out of the theater. I'm someone who likes to process a little bit. So I'm not sure if I was on that road to Emmaus, would I have been talking about all the things that I had seen, or would I have been rather quiet, reflecting on all those things, trying to figure out for myself, in myself, what these things meant. The truth is we all process things differently, and so it's hard to say how any of us put in a circumstance like that would have carried on a conversation or would have made that journey. But we hear at least for these two people that they're talking about all the things that have happened. They're talking about the events. They're trying to make sense of all the things that happened. And we hear that Jesus, even though they don't realize it's Jesus, Jesus starts to walk along with them. And he hears this intense conversation that they're having, and he asks them, "What are you talking about?" And of course, can you just imagine? It would be like somebody saying that they hadn't heard anything about the stay-in-place orders that we're under or the isolation that we're going through right now. If someone were to say, "Oh, I haven't heard anything about that," you might look at them like they have three heads or three eyes or something, because how could you not know this thing that everybody's going through? And so like that, these disciples, these followers of Jesus, look at Jesus and say, how can you not know what's going on? Well, Jesus, of course, in Jesus' own way, is a little bit sassy about it, maybe. And he says, "You slow of heart." And he begins to open up the scriptures for them, beginning with Moses working his way forward in the story, opening to them the scriptures. Now, we might think it's at this moment where they're like, "Oh, it's Jesus. We get this. Oh, we recognize him." But no, they don't. And so after all of this teaching that he does, after all this explanation he gives, they get to Emmaus and he starts to walk ahead of them. And these two finally kind of wake up and go, "Hey, why don't you at least come stay with us? It's late. It's already evening. Why don't you come and be with us for the evening?" And so when they get to the house where they're gathering, when they get there, we are told that Jesus picks up bread, breaks it, and blesses it. And it's in these moments that their eyes are open and they recognize that this has been Jesus walking with them all day. And as soon as they recognize it, Jesus disappears. And they have this whole conversation about, were not our hearts burning within us while he opened to us the scripture? Wasn't our hearts trying to tell us that this is Jesus who's walking with us? Wasn't our heart trying to tell us? Well, we hear that they then go back to Jerusalem. They make the 7-mile journey again to tell the others about what had happened to them. And they also hear the reports that Simon has seen Jesus alive, that the reports of all the things that are continuing to happen as the events unfold after Jesus' resurrection. Now, one theologian, one commenter, commentator on this text said, "Doesn't this road to Emmaus this year feel a little bit longer? Like, doesn't it take just a little bit farther to get to this point of having our eyes opened? Aren't we all feeling a little bit weary? Aren't we all feeling a little bit cloudy? Maybe in a little bit of a haze, wondering what it is that God wants from us in this time, what God is trying maybe to teach us in this time, what God is trying to reveal to us?" Now, I don't want to make too much about that, because I don't want you thinking that, well, God is causing these things so we learn something. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But in the midst of what is happening, as God walks with us, as God journeys with us through this, God still maybe is trying to speak to us. Maybe we're having moments where our heart is burning within us because we're trying to see, we're trying to learn, we're trying to have our eyes opened to something new happening in our midst. Now, I have to admit that on any other Sunday, on any other time when I have preached this text, any other time when this has become the focus of a sermon, when there's been a congregation gathered in the sanctuary, when the table's been set with ready for communion, I would make one very simple connection. That when Jesus breaks the bread and blesses it, he's pointing us to the table, pointing us to communion, pointing us to the meal he has shared. But like I said, because this year is different, because I'm standing here alone in the sanctuary, and there's no communion at the table, it's allowed me to look at this in another way. It's allowed me to think of this in another way. That maybe in this case, maybe in this moment, the breaking of the bread is not so much a sign of the sacrament of Holy Communion, but instead, it's a way in which we connect in a very ordinary way. You see, it wasn't uncommon to break bread and share a blessing when a meal is shared. Many of us still do that today when we gather for a meal. We call it breaking bread, and we share a blessing before we eat that meal. And so maybe instead of this being the Lord's Supper, the gathering of the community as this whole people of God in all times and places together, maybe instead this is our dinner table. Maybe instead this is your couch seat where you eat your dinner. Maybe instead this is the TV tray or whatever it is, however it is you might balance your plate, your lap, whatever it is. Maybe this breaking of the bread is more common than we think. And maybe it's even more than just breaking bread. Maybe our eyes can be opened to what Jesus is doing. Maybe our eyes can be opened how our hearts are burning. Maybe our eyes can be opened how God has been with us in these days in lots of the ordinary things that we're doing. In lots of the ordinary ways in which we're passing the times these days. It may be in that phone conversation that you're having with someone that you're meeting for the first time or someone that you don't know that well, but they're on your page in the directory and pastor said, give them a call. Maybe that's how you're seeing Christ in a new way. Maybe you've been enjoying this bright weather and you're someone who likes to hang your laundry outside. Maybe there's something about the action of caring for the laundry and getting it dry and getting it ready to come in all fresh smelling of the outside air that helps you to see Christ in your midst. Maybe it's when you're at the dining room table trying to teach math to your kids in a way that you didn't learn how to do math yourself. Or, in my case, your kids have gone so far beyond your own math skills that if they were to ask you for help, you wouldn't have any help to offer. But maybe there's something in that time together, in those moments of sharing, in those moments of learning, where we see Christ in our midst. Where Jesus is revealed to us, where our eyes are open, where we recognize why our heart was burning. And there's so many other ways. It might be in the time you're spending in your garden. It might be in the books that you're reading. It might be in the companionship you have with a pet. It may be in the people you're sharing your living space with. It may be any of those things. What I'm trying to say is that Christ promises to meet us not just here in the waters of baptism, not just at the table in Holy Communion, but Christ promises to walk with us on the journey. Christ promises to come alongside us, to open for us Scripture in a new way, to continue to teach us and help us to learn what it means to be followers of God. And so in this time, There can be some ordinary moments when Jesus comes alongside of us, accompanies us on this journey. When Jesus helps us to see a new way, or to see again an old way of how he is present in our midst, how he's leading us in our lives, how he's guiding us into the future. And it's not easy work. It's not easy work. Just think of those two disciples, how many hours they had spent. We don't quite know how long a time it was, but they spent a lot of time. Jesus had time to open up the entirety of scriptures to them, at least starting with Moses. And with all of that, you would think, well, how could they not know? How could they not know at that point? Even Jesus teasing them a little bit about being slow of heart. How does that not tip them off to, oh, this sounds like something Jesus would say? But it's not until they're there in that moment of gathered around the table to share in a meal, Christ gives a blessing, breaks the bread, and they recognize. And so I think for each one of us, in these days when it feels a little bit cloudy, when it feels a little bit like a veil is over our eyes where we can't see as clearly, what does the future look like? What does the rest of the day look like? What does the weeks to come look like? We can't guess any of these things. So we feel a little bit like our hearts are veiled, like our eyes cannot be opened, like our eyes cannot see all that's before us. And so in the midst of this, I think for each of us to remember that Christ promises to meet us not just in the extraordinary things, not just in these big moments of life, but God promises to meet us in the ordinary as well. God promises to meet us in the little things that we're doing. In the face of a sleeping child, in the face of a snoring loved one, in the face of those around us, in a face that we only see through the window because something's being delivered, or someone stopping by to drop something off. In the faces we can only see half of because we're out shopping or doing something where we need to wear a mask. But in these ordinary moments, we're still in the presence of God. We still have the opportunity to see the image of God in our midst. We still have the opportunity to have our burning hearts opened to a new reality. Open to what God is doing now. Open to what Jesus is promising now. I pray that in these days we can all find our Emmaus moments. Our journey, whatever it might look like. Our confusion, our questions, our hearts burning, someone trying to bring us along the way. But in a moment, in something ordinary, in a brief second, whatever it might be, that we recognize Jesus in our midst, even if he disappears right after we recognize it. Amen.